Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. Dr. Les Olah, Chancellor at North and Baptist Bible College, is in the studio with me as the co-host of the broadcast. And again, today we're privileged to have as a guest on the program Dr. Marty Vaughn. Marty, it's good to have you here.
It's wonderful to be here and talk about integrity and how to make an impact on others' lives.
And that is what we have been talking about. Our series in this time of broadcast is Becoming a Person of Impact. And last time we were together, we talked about integrity. And Doc, you gave us a very helpful and practical definition of integrity. And I wonder if you could just kind of throw that back out so as we start this broadcast for listeners who are joining us, they can kind of have an understanding of what we're talking about.
Well, it's the undivided heart, the word integer, you know, in math, that's wholeness. Mm-hmm. It's a whole, it's a completeness. And we are commanded in the New Testament to be single-minded. We see that in Christ's instruction in the Sermon on the Mount. We see a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways in James.
Mm-hmm.
Two-hearted men. David's men were able to conquer because they were of a single heart, of a single mind. And so it's really a wholeness. It's not a dividedness. We said that hypocrisy is a divided heart, duplicity is a divided mind, and apostasy is a divided will. And we see God's people going into apostasy with a divided will because they had a divided mind, because they had a divided heart.
Mm-hmm.
And that violates the command to love God with all of our heart.
And it's interesting that you mentioned David, because David becomes one of the greatest examples of a person after God's own heart, a person of integrity. But we were looking at an episode in his life where that integrity was threatened. And there are threats that come to our lives as we desire to be people of integrity. And you had actually walked us through in 1 Samuel 27 the first part of that threat, which was a premise change that happened in David's heart. He started thinking differently than he had always thought before when he was under pressure.
And that's a lesson for older people. I think maybe later we may mention Asa and Jehoshaphat,
mm-hmm.
where they started acting out of character. You'll see oftentimes older people begin acting out of character, and they say, I'm tired of fighting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just tired of the battle. I'm tired of warring. I'm tired of this. And I believe this is what David did in his heart. He just got tired of it. Got tired of the pursuit, got tired of the hassle. And as an older person, then he began acting out of character.
Well, I think that happens to people in churches. I mean, we may have listeners who are getting tired of being faithful in a marriage that never seems to change.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, boy, I've served God for all of these years in my local church, and I'm just tired.
Mm-hmm.
Or, I mean, there are numbers of arenas. I think you're on to something with the tiredness side of it.
So and we see in 1 Samuel 27:1.
Well, I was going to say, as we go back to 1 Samuel 27:1, we mentioned in our previous broadcast that there was two key statements. I shall now perish one day. There is nothing better for me. And we capitalized on that and the idea of, you called it accurately so, dumb talk, or talking to ourselves
mm-hmm.
in really a setting that's just terribly wrong, as we're going to see today.
Yeah, we saw the premise change. I shall not perish. And Doc Horn, why don't you read 1 Samuel 27, verses 1 and 2 to get us started into this next section.
Okay. And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. And Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand. And David arose, and he passed over with the 600 men that were with him into Achish, the son of Maach, king of Gath.
What do we see happening here? We see after the premise changed, the focus changed.
Mm-hmm.
We'll find that happening. Where did David's focus go after he had this premise settled in his mind, I shall now perish. The best thing for me now is to run. Where did he go?
He went to the enemy. He went to Philistines.
Yeah. He became a functional Philistine. And that was the enemy. That was who they were fighting. And you'll find a lot of parallels, a lot of situations where David goes, but did he go alone?
No, he took 600
others. 600
others
with
him.
See, to me, what a horrible statement on David's part. Not only do I believe God is no longer on the throne, I am going to join the enemy. I'm going to become a Philistine so that these will protect me. So he left the Almighty and found Achish as security. He left Zion to move to Ziklag because this Philistine king, Achish, was glad to have David. In fact, he gave him an entire city. The Ziklag is yours. I don't know where the people who were there, I don't know if they were happy campers about
well, this is the guy who, how many people had he killed to get Saul's, I mean, Saul has killed his thousands and David has killed his ten thousands.
Yes.
And so now he's over to the Philistines and 600 mighty men. These, I mean, this is a big coup.
That's right. Talk about a negative impact at this point. Talk about the fact of losing integrity at this point. What verse 2 reveals, what a terrible, terrible
the impact
focus
of one
change.
Decision on a whole lot of people.
Right.
Yeah. And it all went back to his view of God changing. When David went in battle as a teenager against Goliath, he said, "You come to me with swords and spears. I come to you in the name of the Lord God of hosts." I mean, that's teenage language. Mm-hmm. That's a teenage boy exalting and magnifying his God, the God in whom he was so confident. But we find him here saying, Almighty is no longer protecting me. Achish is going to become my protector. And that focus changed him because his view of God changed. Whenever we get in circumstances, Satan will bombard us to get us to question the goodness and the protection of God. You know, he has mastered that art.
Doc, how have you seen that show up in people that you've counseled? I mean, when you were running around in conferences, how does this show up practically in a person's life?
Well, I think as we look at what makes our focus change, I think first of all is pride.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that we see pride as a point of difficulty. We start worrying rather than trusting. And a good question would be, how does it affect how we function as a father? How does it affect how we function as a pastor and as a leader, as a school teacher, as a school principal, trying to build, make disciples? And we find that our whole motivation becomes man-centered.
I just talked to a teenager the other day, in fact, who said, you know, my dad did, and my mom, they did such a good job of raising us. But this person said, you got to pray for my dad because for some reason it's like my dad says he's a failure and that we don't appreciate him anymore and that we don't love him anymore. And now he's dropping out of church and the family is wondering what has happened in his life because he seems so discouraged. And it's exactly what you're just talking about here, a focus change.
Yeah, and it's pride driven. You remember another point of David's integrity problem. Why was God so against David numbering the people?
Mm. Mm-hmm. I've always wondered that. That is an interesting story.
It's a trust shift, isn't it?
Yeah, but it was pride, was it not?
Right.
I want to see how many I've got. I want to see how big we are.
Yeah, and a pride shift. But what was the problem with that numbering? He did not want David to put his confidence in numbers. Well, what a lesson that is for church builders. I think many change their premise, and then they change their focus. God is not growing this church fast enough. So I have to get these numbers. I'm going to count how many we have, and I'm going to prove my rightness by my bigness.
Wow.
And I think God has to say, hearty, har, har, har. If you have to demean my character
to get that,
to get bigness, your focus is now man-centered, not God-centered. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean we should be small and we must be really godly because we're running only 30. That's not the issue.
Right.
But if I'm running 3,000 because I become man-centered and man-focused, there's going to be a problem and there's going to be accountability.
And that pride, I like what you say sometimes when you talk about that pride in our function, because that pride comes out of how we perceive ourselves.
Yeah.
That's the lock right there on pride. My self-perception, how I perceive myself and how I think others are perceiving me.
Yeah. And we see that, how it affects the work that we do. Second thing I listed for focus change, number one, there was a pride factor. And how does this come out practically? I think it goes back to a man-centered thing. Secondly, it's pressures.
Mm-hmm.
What changes our focus? Pressure.
Mm-hmm.
You're pastoring and you're thinking, man, we're not growing. Then you see this church over here that seems to be exploding. And people come to you, people whom you've led to Christ, And now they're saying, well,
we got to go down there.
We're not going to your church anymore. We are going to so-and-so. Mm-hmm. And that pressure begins to come.
Could we talk about that in terms of a family? In other words, let's talk about the pressure that comes on a family. Maybe it's financial pressure. And so now we can't keep up with the neighbor. And our kids aren't going to have the same kind of expensive toys that the neighbor is having. And what's this going to do to our perception in the neighborhood? Mm-hmm. And all of these things can create a quick focus shift.
Yes. And the third thing I think causes leaders particularly, and whether it's a dad or a pastor, would be provisions. Pride drives me. My pressure drives me, and then provisions. I say, God is not working quickly enough.
Mm-hmm.
Let me show you, God, how to build a work. Move over. I'm going to show you how to build a work.
Wow.
Because you have not provided for us. We have the God called the bank.
Mm-hmm.
Jehovah Visa, as you said.
Jehovah Visa. And we are going to show you what we can do. We can fill our garage with toys, and we can fill our... You talk about building buildings. You haven't seen anything yet. Move over, God. We can show you something. But what it goes back to pride and pressure.
Mm-hmm.
What are people's expectations? What are the comparisons? And say, go ahead. You do what man can do, and you will end up with the results of what man can do, rather than the exaltation of God.
When God doesn't provide quickly enough, we want to run to Gath.
Oh, yeah, we head straight to Gath. We'll become Philistine real quick because mm-hmm. we're going to show you, because we're going to protect our image.
You just gave me a good picture of what you meant by a functional Philistine.
Yes.
When you said that at the beginning, I'm wondering, now how would that... That's just like the light went on.
And it comes from a low view of God. In other words, there's two things. God does not have the capacity. God does not have the capability. The capacity because of his great love, and the capability because of his great power. And
I've got to have these provisions because I'm being driven by pride, and I don't want to live under the pressure.
Right.
So therefore, I'm going to go to Gath and get it because God hasn't given it to me.
Every decision that I make as a leader, I move everyone with me into that decision who is under my influence. Mm-hmm. I wrote notes to myself always as the president of Northland. Don't make decisions today that will leave a mess for the person who has to follow. Mm-hmm. So careful. As a pastor, you say, well, how quickly should we build? I believe that there is a aspect we need to consider, but we'll follow up with that later. But when there's a focus change, we have to be careful.
And so as we close the broadcast today, we need to be people who guard our integrity. And the greatest way to guard our integrity is to guard our focus, that our focus would be God-centered. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast or of the whole series, we'll be glad to send you a copy of Becoming a Person of Impact. Until the next time we're together, may the Lord bless you.